Good morning, everybody. I'm going to read the first few verses of Psalm 103. It's a psalm of David's, and it's an interesting psalm, but he sets off by saying, by the way, a psalm is a song. It's were poetically written, but they were put to music and sang. So this is a song that David wrote. And David, of course, was one of the greatest kings of Israel. But he knew how to praise God, and he wrote most of the Psalms. And he starts off this psalm by saying, "Praise the Lord." That's a good way to start any song. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." Now, in reading that, have you noticed something? Have you noticed something? My question is this: who is he talking to? Have you worked it out? He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits." Do you know what he's doing? He's talking to himself. Do any of you talk to yourself?
Yes.
Have you ever found yourself talking to yourself? Somebody said to me once, "It's okay to talk to yourself. That's not a problem, so long as you don't try to answer yourself." That's a big problem. But to talk to yourself, David was talking to himself at the beginning of the singing to himself. And he's reminding himself something. He's telling himself to praise God. He's actually saying, "Praise the Lord." Come on, John. John, praise the Lord. Come on, David, praise the Lord. He's speaking to himself. Why is that? Because sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we need to praise God. Because I tell you what, not many other people will remind you. You need to remind yourself to praise God. You need to remind yourself to do it. You need some time to speak to yourself. I was talking to someone not so long back who was talking about praise, and this person said to me, "Oh, I had to come to a place where I had a breakthrough in praise because I don't always feel like praising God." And they're being very honest. After I come to church, I just don't feel like praising God. And maybe that's you. Maybe this morning it's you. Maybe you've come here, you've sang some of these songs, because the Christmas songs, and you know them, but it's not coming from here. It's just coming from out of your mouth, but it's not coming from there. I have been preaching for 67, 68 years, long time. I've preached in over 20 different countries. I've preached to thousands of people over the years. I've been to many, 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 many churches. And one thing that I've discovered over the years is a lot of Christians don't break through in praise. They let the circumstances of life stop them from praising God. So I was talking to this person who says, I needed to get a breakthrough in praise. And they said, "I got a real breakthrough in praise." And I stopped and I thought about it. I thought, that's sad that you're looking for a breakthrough in praise, when praise should be a natural response of a Christian. And when you praise God, you get a breakthrough in your circumstances. I hope you're not seeking God for a breakthrough in praise, but if you're not praising him, you need to. But I hope that when you praise God, it's because you know there is a breakthrough in your circumstances that are against you. See, this is what David's saying. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. Come on. When you start to praise God, you get a breakthrough in the area of knowing you're forgiven. You're forgiven. If you're a Christian, you're forgiven. If you're a follower of Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. What a breakthrough that is. Who heals all your sicknesses, all your diseases. That's what he says. God is a healer. And a lot of people don't find that out because they don't praise God like they should do. They don't get a breakthrough in praise, and they don't praise him. But when you start to praise him, I'm telling you, you start to find out that your life is a whole lot better. You start to realize there's benefits that God has done for you. So he forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. You're not going to hell. Come on. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not going to hell. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're on your way to hell. And you need to be redeemed. You need to be saved from the pit. You need to. He saves us from the pit and crowns you, and he's talking to himself, crowns me, crown, talking to his soul. The Lord crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, that your youth can be renewed like the eagles. I'm telling you now, if the church praised God more than what they do, they'd be a lot more powerful. I believe the church is not a powerful body as it should be because it's not praising God as it should do. I'm telling you, God's still moving by his Spirit. And by the way, Christianity is alive and well. Might not be so well in Australia, but in many parts of the world, there are revivals taking place. In many parts of the world, people are turning against their religions and turning to Jesus Christ by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, and in some cases, by the millions. So I just want you to know this, church, that God is still alive. That Jesus is still being sought after. We live in a country, sadly, where we're looking so much to materialism that we forget how good and great God is. We live in a country that's very lucky. Well, I call it blessed, but lucky. Let's say Australia, the lucky country, because we don't see half of what is happening in the world. I mean, we've just had that video. We haven't got a clue what those kids were like before they came. We don't live in a country where kids are on the street all the time being abused. We are so blessed with what we have, but we don't give glory to God. And I tell you, if you fail to give glory to God, it won't be long before your benefits won't be there. So David is speaking to himself. And can I say that to you? Have a good talk to yourself, will you? Go and look at yourself in the mirror and say, as I would say, looking at John, you praise God. Praise God, oh my soul. All that is within me, praise and bless his holy name. Because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. I went for a walk around the park this morning. I go every morning for a walk around our beautiful park. Got some lovely lakes there and beautiful trees and grass. And a lot of people walk around. And I always look at people. I watch people walking around the park with their phone. They may have a dog in one hand and their phone like this. They're walking around a beautiful, glorious park with their head stuck in stupid phones, not realizing the beauty that God has made. A lot of those people are unhappy. A lot of those people have got problems. A lot of people are up against a wall. But instead of looking to the glorious creation of God and saying, wow, look what God has made. He's a great creator. I just heard today on the radio coming to church that they've just discovered in the hills, the high hills up in Adelaide, a little creature. I think they called it a skink, which is like a little, lizard. They've discovered, didn't even know it existed, a little lizard, beautiful colored lizard. They've just discovered it, and this lizard lives in the most hardest of circumstances. God is a wonderful creator. And this guy said, what a wonderful thing that is. But I've not read about it in the newspapers. I've not heard about it on the television. I've not heard about it. In fact, all I'm hearing about are elections. And Trump and Kamala and Israel, the war. And God is a great creator. We need to lift our eyes off the circumstances, start praising God, and God gives us victory over our circumstances. God wants to bless you. God's design and purpose is to bless you. You may have come in this morning without any realization of that at all. You may be looking at the world with its woes, with its problems. You may be looking around you and thinking how unhappy you are. I had to go to my doctor's change. A guy that I usually have is gone. So there was another doctor. So I had to go and see him. And he was an Indian guy, but in his 40s. Very nice guy. And when he saw me, hadn't seen me before, he went, whoa. You look healthy. That's the first thing he said to me. So he said, and then he went through everything, and he says, you haven't had one of these examinations, because when you reach 75, you're supposed to have these examinations to find out if you're getting dementia and all those things. He says, I'm going to send you to the nurse. And I was 45 minutes in with this nurse questioning me, what day is it? What month is it? What season are you in? And she was going on and on and on like this. And then trying to find out, you got to answer questions on arithmetic, which is my worst subject. But then she did something. There was two objects on a piece of paper. And she said, look at them. And she took it away. She says, now draw them. So I draw them perfectly. Because I'm good at art. Got good eyesight. Come on. And then she said to me, are you happy? I said, yes, all the time. She looked at me like this. I said, yes. I said, I'm very, very happy. She says, do you find as you're getting older that you are retreating from people? So I said, well, look, all of my life I've been a people person because I've been a minister of religion. I was a pastor of a church. I've had people around me all of my life. Now I'm getting old. Yeah, I'm really beginning to enjoy my own company. I said, I don't get you. Don't you get lonely? No, I don't get lonely at all. In fact, I really enjoy being me. And then she was asking about my wife. I said, oh, my wife she died just a couple of weeks ago, and we had a service for her. And she looked at me, oh, and how is satisfaction? I said, really good, because she's in heaven. And she said, you what? I said, well, she'd got dementia for all these years. It was a wonderful. I said, we're Christians. My wife, I will see her again. And next time I see her, she won't have dementia. Amen. So this nurse is looking at me like this. I don't think she's anybody to answer questions like this, an old bloke. Well, so she's going on, and then she says, well, you look pretty fit. What exercise do you do? So I started to tell her. And she said, what about your neck? Do you find yourself falling over? I said, no. She said, what about your neck? I said, every time I go to the gym, I exercise my neck. She's looking at me. She said, oh. And she was an Asian lady, lovely lady. She said, yeah, but when you get into your 40s, your body don't start to work like it used to, and you need to exercise. I said, you sure do. So I walk around the park every morning, 5 kilometers every morning and 2 kilometers every afternoon. And the gym you usually go twice a week. She's looking at me. She says, I really ought to exercise. This is what she said. She says, I really ought to exercise. So she says, I'm starting to do yoga. I says, yoga's no good. You need to get off your bum and walk. I told her. I said, if you want exercise, go walk. Stay fit, stay healthy. So she was shocked when she saw, because I'm an old man, but a happy old man. I'm not miserable because I've got a future that is beyond this and a glorious future. And I may not be in heaven now, but I'm living it now on earth. So I can praise the Lord, oh my soul. I can do it. Praise the Lord. I won't forget his benefits. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies my desires with good things. I tell you what, I think that lady, after I'd finished talking to her, was a very happy lady because she didn't write anything negative, couldn't write anything negative about me. Don't you think that's good? I bet she gets people in there who are complaining all day long to her, complaining, moaning. In fact, I was with an older person yesterday who did nothing but complain. Like, come on. It's a beautiful world. Doesn't get worse as you get older. The world is a beautiful place. The people might not be. But that's why we've got a Savior. His name is Jesus. To make them better. That's what Jesus is all about. Making people better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when I read that scripture about he renews your youth like the eagle, it reminded me of this scripture. Look at this one in Isaiah. This is beautiful. And verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heaven, of the earth, of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. This is God. God will not grow tired or weary. He doesn't get tired. And I found something else. He never sleeps. Do you know, God never takes a cat nap. He never sleeps, doesn't need to, and he never grows weary or tired, but he puts his strength into us. I think that's wonderful. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Oh, glory to God. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, and they do. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, whether they're young or old. Did you hear that? Will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So it told us in that psalm that we read, and I love this, that the Lord will renew your strength like the eagles. I stopped and I thought about that. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. We've got different ages here. We've got some young people, children in there, but we've got some that's getting up a bit. And like my pastor daughter said this morning, I'm one of the oldest people here. Did you hear that? But it doesn't matter because your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I started to think about that. And I thought, you know, one of my most favorite birds is the eagle. I love the eagles. Eagles have incredible eyesight to start with. A bald eagle can spot its prey the size of a rabbit nearly 5 kilometers away. I can hardly see the back of that wall. But an eagle can see 5 kilometers. Some people here may have good vision, 20/20 vision. An eagle's got 20/50 vision. They can see. They can see. And then that scripture came to me. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. I'm a Christian, so I can see. Now listen, I might not be able to see the back of that wall very well because it's pretty dark over there, but what I can see is the end of this world. I can see the judgments of God. I can see how it all finishes. In fact, I was preaching last week at a Singaporean church up north, and I was saying to them, as I was preaching, that, you know, don't be upset when you hear about nuclear wars and the possibility of a right now we could set off a nuclear war that would destroy. I said, let me just tell you something. This world will not be destroyed by a nuclear war. No atomic bombs or nuclear bombs are going to destroy this world. And I'll tell you why. Because the earth is the Lord's. It's what the Bible says. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God will finish this world when he's ready. Don't be afraid of nuclear war, because that's not going to destroy humanity. I'll tell you what's going to destroy humanity. Not China. Not America. Not Russia. But God. It's his. And he will bring judgment upon this world when he is ready. But those who love him and those who know him are going with him to a better place than this. I've got spiritual eyesight that I can see beyond the end of time. I can see beyond. I can see beyond. I can see beyond the end of time. I'm not afraid of dying. That's what this lady asked me yesterday. She said, are you afraid of death as you're getting older? Are you afraid of things that may happen and bring? I said, the sooner I die, the better. Because I'm going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. And that might sound stupid to some of you people listening to me now, but I'm telling you, it's not stupid. This is not the end of my life when this life is finished here. It is a beginning of eternity for those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Eagles have got good eyesight, and Christians have got good spiritual eyesight. Amen. Second thing that eagles can do, they can fly above a storm. No other bird can do it. Eagles, when they know the storm is coming, they're up in the air, they can get the thermals and they go higher than the storm. They go above the dark clouds. They look down and the clouds are white and fluffy to them and the sun is still shining. They have the ability to ride a storm. Glory to God. Have you? Have you got that ability? Come on, if you're being renewed like the eagle, you ride a storm. You can ride any storm in Jesus Christ. He gives you the ability to soar above your problems, soar above your sickness, soar above your weakness, soar above your financial lack. Whatever problems are facing you right now, you have the ability, like an eagle, to soar above them. Storms don't bother eagles. Hallelujah. Come on. We've had many storms in our life, but God brings us through every single time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Eagles are wonderful, but not only have they got good eyesight, can they ride above the storm? They build great homes. When eagles get together and mate, they stay together for life. Very faithful. And they go to a high place in the mountains, in the rocks, and they build their nest where no predators can get to it. They build a strong home for their little chicks. But they use that nest every single year. And they build on it and build on it and build on it. They have discovered in America, especially with some of the golden eagles and the bald eagles, some of their nests, after a few years, weigh over a ton. Come on. That's what you call a home. A lot different from the dove. Do you know the worst nest builders in the world are doves? I've watched them. They go into a branch and they get three or four little bits like that, cross it with a couple of little bits, and that's their nest. Three little twigs. And I've seen eggs on the floor smashed because the wind blew them off. Doves are stupid when it comes to building nests. They haven't got a clue. Eagles know. And I'm telling you something. Christians know how to build a good home. Well, I thought I'd get more amens than that. Well, come on. Maybe you are you Christians this morning? If you listen, well, build a good home. Build a strong home in Jesus. Let your home be strong. Let your home be a place of security for you and your kids. Come on. Let it be a place of love. Let it be a place of understanding. Let it be a place of love and compassion. Eagles know how to build good homes. Another thing that it says, your youth is renewed like the eagles. It says, so whoever wrote this all those years ago understood that the eagle renews its youth. So I did quite a bit of studying on eagles. And I've never seen an old eagle. Eagles don't grow old and dilapidated. Now, my wife, as you know, was in the nursing home, and I used to visit her regularly. And as a result of that, me and my son David, that preached last week, and his wife and a couple of others, every second Monday we go, like tomorrow, we'll be going down to the nursing home in Amaru, and we sing to the people. We sing to them. They come, bring them together, the dementia people. There's usually about 30 of them there. And we sing songs, happy songs, and hymns as well. Tomorrow we'll sing some carols. We sing to them. But when I go in there, they're all old. Most can't see or hear. They definitely can't understand. We sing the same songs every fortnight. They think it's for the first time we're singing them. Because they're old. And sad, don't get me wrong, they look old. Do you know why they look old? Because they are. One of my grandchildren, Diana's son, said to me once, he looked at me and says, Pop, how old are you? You look really old. Did, just like that. But you don't see old eagles. And the reason you don't see old eagles is when they start to get old, and the feathers are getting torn and frayed, and they'll fly up to a high place where then predators can't get to them. And in that high place, they will literally pull out their old feathers that are damaged and grow new ones. And they get all the calcium that's on their beaks, and they clean them on the rocks. So the beaks and their talons, they clean them. And they sit there sometimes for weeks and weeks while their feathers grow, and they take off again as if they've got youth. Eagles die of old age, but they don't look old. I want to be like an eagle. Come on. Come on. I want to die of old age, but I don't want to be old. And by old, I don't just mean physical. I mean old in my brain. A lot of old people are always looking in the past. Have you noticed? It's always, oh, it was better in my day. Oh, my mother always used to say, the best years was the roaring 20s. And stop looking back. Enjoy today. Yes. Don't care how old you are. Enjoy your life now. He renews our youth like the eagles. Yes. Come on. So, you know, we may be old eagles, but we can fly like a young one. Yes. Come on, we can. We can. And then the last thing. Eagles are unusual in that mostly, not always, but mostly, when they are about to die, they actually face the rising sun. And they die as the sun is coming up. They face west and die looking at the rising sun. What a way to go. And you know, that's where I'm going. I'm looking at the rising sun. I'm looking at the Son of God who's risen with healings in his wing. I got my eyes on Jesus. I haven't got my eyes on nursing homes. I got my eyes on Jesus because he is alive and well, and I will be alive and well with him. Come on, I will die. Should he tarry, I will die like all you will. All of you will die one day. But when we die, let's make sure we're looking at the rising sun. We've got our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen? He's the best one, is Jesus. Now, we can't do much about our physical bodies. I understand that, because we get aches and pains, and we don't hear as well as we should, you know. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I could hardly hear what they were saying, and I was saying, I'm not very good at hearing. Can you speak up? Oh, okay, I'll try to speak up. They would say, speak up, I can't hear. When you get old, you don't see as well, you don't hear. But I'll tell you what, your spirit can be as alive and healthy as it should be. Come on. Never stop experiencing the love of God. Never stop experiencing the grace of God. Never stop experiencing the forgiveness of God. Never do that. You just keep on speaking to your soul and saying, praise the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me praises holy name. Doesn't matter what the world does. The world's been doing what it's done for thousands of years. It's a mess. And I don't believe politics is the answer to this world. I know they've just voted Trump in and they said that he's going to turn America around. And in a lot of ways, he may do that. But he is not the answer to the world's problems. In fact, there is no answer to the world's problems outside of Jesus. Nobody can be saved or forgiven or changed except through Jesus Christ. No religion, no political movement, no philosophy can save this world. Only a man can save him. And can I say this? Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's a man. If you make him into a religion, then you're just as lost as any other religion. But if you see him as Jesus, the man, the Son of the living God, God's perfect man and man's perfect God, keep your eyes off religion, but put your eyes on Jesus. I'm telling you, you're going to stay young all of your life. Not physically, because you see, the body will grow old, but I'm going to tell you something. What you've got the moment that Jesus returns, you've got a new body. Come on, a new body. And when if Jesus was to come right now, and finish this work, and you find yourself in heaven, I'll guarantee you won't take any of your tablets with you. You won't take any, you won't say, oh, just a minute, Jesus, I forgot my medication. Oh, I need my blood pressure tablets. No, you won't need them. Amen. You won't need your glasses. You won't need anything, because you'll have a new body. But I haven't got my new body yet, but what I have got is a new spirit. I've got a new soul. Jesus is changing me from glory to glory, and he wants to change you as well. Hallelujah. Now, that wasn't a bad sermon, was it, Pastor? It was pretty good. I'm telling you, we've got to learn to praise God. And not just when you come to church on a Sunday. Let me just say this. If you haven't been praising God in this meeting, don't kid me on and say you praise him when you're at home, because you don't. If you can't praise God when we all come together with beautiful music and sing praises to him and it comes from our heart, don't kid yourself. You're not praising God at all. You don't know how you've stopped. I'm saying to you, go look at yourself in the mirror and say, soul, you start praising God. You start thanking him for all his goodness and his love. And you will find when you break through in praise and you start to praise him that you'll break through in your circumstances. Come on, you'll do that. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That was pretty good. That wasn't too bad at all. It was better than the welcome they gave you. We're going to say it again. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. Do you know God loved you saying that then? Because you started to focus on him. A lot of you people have got some bad circumstances. Some of you are hurting inside. Some of you got things that you wish was changed. Some of you, things are dragging you down. Well, don't let them. If you praise God, he's going to pull you up. The world wants to drag you down. God's going to lift you up. You're going to be like an eagle in his presence. Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Say hallelujah.
That
word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what country you are in, it's the same word all over the world. Whether it's German or French, Russian, Chinese, they say the same word as us, hallelujah. And it means praise the Lord. That's what it actually means. It's a Hebrew for praise the Lord. So we're going to say hallelujah again after two. One, two. Hallelujah! That's real good. Father, I pray for every person here. I ask that this word, Lord, will penetrate our hearts and help us to focus in the direction we should be focusing in, and that's Jesus. Forgive us for focusing on things around us, Lord, and getting disturbed by what is happening around us instead of focusing on you, Jesus, because you are the Prince of Peace. You are the one who gives peace. You give joy. You bring love to our hearts. And over this festive season, Jesus, we're going to remember your birth. You came into this world. You came in poverty into this world, and you died in poverty so that we can become rich through your death. I pray every person here, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, will develop a beautiful lifestyle of praising you, and not just waiting till they come together at church, but tomorrow morning when they wake up, help them to open their mouths to praise you, to say it out loud that you're a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a marvelous God. You're a loving God. You're a caring God. You're a compassionate God. Oh, help us, Lord, to be full of praise to you. May this be a church full of praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.